Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, June 24th, 2019. Happy birthday, Mrs. Wade. I know it's her birthday today. And I want to introduce two guests that I have with me to talk about the issues of the day. First, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I'm a bit tired, but good to be here.
Well, you know, when you stay up way too late playing Wizards Unite, like, you know, you are going to roll right in a little slow on the uptake. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. It's very good to be here today. I'm very happy that you're having me on the show. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. So we have several versions of Brian on the show today. I just wasn't expecting to have three guests on the show today. So, Andrew, I actually want to start with you. You wrote up an article this morning about the Dashboard Act.
Yes, it is. I'm just going to read the full name because it's so long.
Yes.
Because, of course, the Designing Accounting Safeguards to Help Broaden Oversight and Regulations on Data Act.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dashboard Act.
Off the tongue.
It yeah. does. It's so catchy.
So this is a bipartisan legislation mm-hmm. from Senators Mark Warner and Josh Hawley. So basically, the Dashboard Act would, they're introducing it today, mm-hmm. and it would require companies that make money from data collection or processing to tell users how much their data is worth every 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to notify their users on how their data is used and what type of data is collected.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the more interesting piece to me was that each of these companies would have to disclose to the SEC the value, yeah. the aggregate data, the aggregate value of the user data. I thought that was really interesting. It's really a bunch of transparency, basically, because they have to, when they report to the SEC, they have to have details about third-party data collection and how that user data generates revenue and uh-huh. what steps companies are taking to protect that data. And you also have to get a tool to be able to remove it from that system, which is great. Brian disagrees.
So,
I have a feeling.
Well, kind of. You know, my question is, says who? So here I am. I'm a company and I've got some data for a bunch of people because I'm really into surveillance capitalism. Mm-hmm. I think it's the bee's knees. And I'm saying it's worth X amount. Now, what's to keep me from knowing that it's worth Z amount, but saying it's really only worth B amount?
Mm-hmm. That's a valid question. There's no way
any of this can be, you know, fact checked or authorized or debunked or certified or anything else. So really, it's probably closer to semi-transparent at best. That was what I was disagreeing with.
Okay. And that's probably, I mean, yeah. Like, but it's a shot. Like, this is the interest.
It's a
like
step
I said,
forward, right?
Yeah. The interesting piece to me was that this becomes information that has to go to the SEC, and yeah. that user data becomes a contributor to the value of a company. And to me, that part makes a lot of sense. Like, all that and data that these companies hold is worth some amount. Now, how quantifiable that amount is obviously up for debate, but it's an interesting thing to consider.
And if the report to the SEC is detailed enough, I would think maybe that they could, like, take the figures that they report on there and compare it to reports like how much revenue the company generated, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, maybe they would be able to see if there's like some discrepancy.
Nah, not at all. I mean, and this could be used. This could be manipulated in probably a jillion ways. On the one hand, a company could claim that their user data or even a user's data is worth five times what it actually is worth because they want to, you know, pump up their stock or they want to get some investments from VCs or whatever. On the other side, in order to keep their product, i.e. custom, you know, users, from getting all up in arms, they can claim that it's worth far less than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this could be, I don't know, this, I, from what little I know so far, and that truly is little, I would not call this an endpoint in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But it could end up being, it could end up being a gateway to properly, to better disclosing the value and costs of surveillance capitalism. And then one more note on that same end, it could also further normalize surveillance capitalism because, you know, if it's being reported to the SEC, it must be okay, that sort of thing. And
you know,
oh yeah, my data is worth such and such, you know, and like now everybody knows and so no one cares. So I don't know. I don't think this is going to solve any problems, but maybe it.
I think we've lost Brian. Hey. I don't think it's going to solve anything either. Like, just the thing that I'm hoping comes out of this, whether or not it passes, is that it kicks off a conversation, because this is probably the first time I've seen anyone draw a straight line between user data and revenue and having that conversation. Like, the point like the thing that makes Facebook valuable is all the data it has on everybody. It's not their server technology. Well, it's how
it uses that data.
But but that's what makes them a valuable company, is that data. And a lot of what makes Google's services valuable is that data. And excuse me. And that's not something that's generally being discussed as something the SEC should know about, something that is intrinsically related to what people believe to be the value of that company. So hopefully that conversation will happen at least, and maybe something good will come out of this. And also, if nothing else, I think this is notable because it's bipartisan. Because Mark Warner is a Democratic senator from Virginia. Josh Hawley is a Republican senator from Missouri. And I think, if nothing else, that's remarkable in itself anymore. And I think it's interesting because I know Mark Warner is another person who is in Congress and understands a fair amount about technology and the need for exactly this kind of legislation. So hopefully this will bring some of that forward and the conversations will continue to be had. And honestly, whatever form this takes, I too have not sat down and read the entire bill or anything like that. But if nothing else, maybe it'll be a good 1.0 that will get us down the path to something that actually makes it so that companies are accountable for data and how they protect it and what happens when they don't. And people will be more aware of the value of the data that they're handing over when they hand it over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my hope.
To that end, you know, lots of folks might know that Facebook is worth, I don't know, $40 billion Facebook market cap. I'm actually checking that as we speak. But my point is, they may know that sort of thing abstractly. But I would imagine that the vast majority of people have never stopped and thought about how much they are contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what am I saying, market cap? $552 billion, right? So their market cap is $552 billion. They're doing $40 or $50 billion, I think, a year in revenue, something along those lines. So, you know, you are that product. You are what is being sold. So this might bring added context to the role we play for these surveillance capitalism companies.
Yeah. And again, kicking open the door to have that conversation is the part that I think is going to be, if nothing else, I think that will be the most useful thing that comes out of this. Because even if the bill doesn't go anywhere, and there's a chance it won't, it's still something that people might be talking about. And maybe you'll see one or the other of these fellas on TV talking about or sitting down for an interview in a newspaper. I know there's a clip of Mark Warner on Axios, which Andrew, you linked to in your post, talking a little bit about this. And I also really like the reporting to users, because I think that's another thing that will underscore, to Brian's point, to people, how much you are contributing to whatever the value of that company is, whoever they are. So I think it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I hope we will be able to find that out, and I hope it goes somewhere cool so that we can find out more and have that conversation. I think it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So also today, excuse me, this is where our third guest comes into it. We need to talk about horns, people. We are somewhere in the midst of a great number of articles and a fair amount of hand-wringing over kids sprouting horns because they spend all their time on the phone. On a smartphone, not on the phone. Brian?
Yeah, so Terry Austin wrote a piece for us basically explaining how this happens. Of course, the quick-to-jump conclusions aspect, not to mention everybody who is convinced that radiation is from phones is, like, causing cancer and stuff, despite, like, you know, any evidence supporting that. Whatever. He explained how this is happening, and his background for this, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes, correct?
Mm-hmm. We will.
He is a professor of human anatomy and physiology at Temple College, where he has taught people who want to be nurses, dental hygienists, and more in the last 19 years. And he also worked with the Human Identification Lab at the University of North Texas. As he said it, think CSI. That lab was founded by Dr. Harold Gilking, who was the lead forensic anthropologist at the Twin Towers event, i.e. the terrorist attacks in the Twin Towers that brought him down. So that's his background. And what he explains to us is that these horns are not these horns are real. Like I can't remember if it's MRIs or X-rays. Andrew, do you know?
I think there were X-rays
that are showing what appear to be horns growing inside skulls. This is not a product of radiation. This is a product of leaning over and staring into your frickin' phone all day.
Mm-hmm.
And staying in that, you know, in that same position for a long time. What happens is your muscles end up causing, let me get the correct term, the attachment points on bones that...
It's entosopathy, I think, leverage. Is what you're talking about.
I believe that is correct. Thank you very much, Kelly. And so when we hang our heads all day, apparently what happens is the horns start growing on the inside of our head, and that's for muscles to attach and be able to basically support the head and all that sort of thing. It is not radiation. It is not abnormal. It is not from the radios that are in your phone. It is from your frickin' posture. So stop with the scare tactics. Stop with the nonsense. Stop with the "see, I told you so"s, and do some learning.
And I liked specifically the examples that he listed, like because what's happening is these places where you have muscles that attach to bones. Those attachment points get stronger as they get stressed, just like any other muscle. You know, if you do a lot of push-ups, your arms are going to look better, that sort of thing. One of the examples that he gives are that a person who identifies these sorts of things regularly would be able to tell this person does a lot of typing on a keyboard or does a lot of thumb typing, or this person is right-handed, and based on what, you know, which attachment points we're talking about, maybe able to tell that that person golfs regularly. So I think those are the sorts of things that you would be able to tell from anything. And what this particular x-ray is telling people is that this person holds their head down a lot. And yeah. I imagine that there are a lot of other ways that this could be interpreted. I mean, we probably saw this on people who carried around Game Boys everywhere. It's just that nobody was paying attention to it then.
Yeah, that's probably the main takeaway I would say that people need to hear, is that this isn't limited to just smartphones. I mean, for one thing, it's completely normal. Any muscle you use a lot gets reinforced. I mean, muscles grow by literally tearing themselves apart. Mm-hmm. And the connection of the muscle and the bone, that part also needs to be reinforced, which is what these are.
Right. And honestly, yeah, the thing that people should be concerned about is... Go ahead, Brian.
Get your head out of your phones. Like, stop walking around. Like, tell your kids. If your kids are on their phones all day, or on their iPads all day, or, you know, God forbid, an Android device, then, you know, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Get and out. Live.
The other thing about that is that you can have other issues related to having your head down all the time. So, like, something that looks funny in an x-ray is honestly the least of your concerns. If this is happening, then there's other stuff that needs that also needs to change. You know, get your head out of your phone. Make sure that your screen is where it needs to be. If you're a person who spends a lot of time on your computer, make sure your computer is at eye level, that you don't have to tilt your head down, that kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to make sure health-wise that these are things that you're taking care of. Because you can end up with lots of other troubles in various degrees, depending on how much time you're spending in front of your screen. You know, we hear about computer eye all the time, that people get dry eye issues and things because you're not blinking as often when you're staring into that screen, and mm-hmm. you know, eye trouble and one thing and another. So there's a lot of other stuff that goes along with spending all your time in front of a screen. So yeah, get your head out of your phone. That would be, I mean, that's really the biggest takeaway, I think, is get your head out of your phone and pay a little attention to your environment as well. You know, make sure your screen is where it needs to be. I know Brian is currently not in his usual setting, so Brian's not as comfortable as he would be if he were.
It's definitely different.
If you were in a different place.
Not definitely. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's definitely not comfortable.
Wapner's on it too. It's really weird. Wapner. Gotta watch Wapner. The other thing that I took out of this was that it sort of sounds like a lot of places that covered this little news nugget didn't actually read it, because
yeah,
the angle that everybody took was and in real life, no, as we're here to tell you.
And this isn't new. This is, you know, pretty much any scientific study gets sensationalized in the news. It was first done by the Washington Post, and I had written a link teaser to an article on Ars Technica, mm-hmm. where this person made note that the scientific study, I mean, it had problems on its own, but it didn't even mention horns anywhere in it.
Yeah. And that's the thing that everybody knows, because that's how we were able to refer to it, that you knew what we were talking about was, you know, that story about the horns? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Coverage. Thanks, everybody. It's, yeah. Again, head out of your phone. And especially when it's something like this. You should always kind of arch an eyebrow and try to go back to the original story and see if you can find out more about it. You know, apply standard April Fool's Day parameters to what you're reading. Bias. What?
Yeah. Maybe you can include a link. Maybe you can include a link to in the show notes to that other link teaser I did about how to spot bad science.
Yes, that's an excellent idea. I will be adding that now. Because bad information is almost, you know, what we really need. You know, it's like whenever anybody puts out a press release on April 1st or very, very late at the end of March, you know, you always kind of have to look at it a little bit sideways just to see. And this is the same kind of thing, I think. So, love to see. But what was it you were trying to say, sir, about this, Brian? Something about keeping your head out of your phone?
Yeah, keep your head out of your phone.
All right. There you go. Sound advice. Take it through your day. If you have good information about how to spot bad information, we would love to share that with you as well. You can email observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. With that, I would like to thank you for being here today. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yep, thanks for having me. I'm going to go make some coffee.
Coffee is always a good idea. And Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Coffee, yeah. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
With a special appearance by Brian Danzig. Thanks to everyone for sticking with us today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamana. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.